biggest thing you have to wonder is when does he come out and when does Nathan Beaulieu go in? That's number one. Number two, you could see the frustration of Jeff Petrie, especially after to start the third period in the play by Schmaltz. But what's Yemelin doing? What's he doing on that read? I mean, that's just a terrible read.
Welcome back. It's hour number four. Pierre McGuire an hour ago in the woods in Florida looking for golf balls. On Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690 along with Amanda Stein, who's in for Mitch Gallo, who returns on Friday. He's coming back Friday for our Hurley's extravaganza, 3 to 7 on Friday. Dave Trentadue is in for an ailing Rod Francis. We hope Rod is back tomorrow. And just before we get to Gord, who's in Ottawa, they'll play the Blackhawks, who we just saw last night. And, of course, the back-to-back's coming up this weekend. Earlier today, a couple of hours ago, from the Boston area, she is one of the greatest female hockey players on the planet.
Obviously, all of us love our country and love representing our country, love playing Canada on a world stage. And to have to hold out from that, especially being at home, I just think it speaks to our passions of how serious we are about this issue.
Hillary Knight, the day the U.S. women's hockey team announced they will not defend their world championship, scheduled basically in their own backyard in the state of Michigan.
We're asking for equitable support, and it's 2017, so I didn't really think it was that big of a deal nowadays, but with the stalled negotiations, I guess it is.
So on that note, let us bring in a member of the International Ice Hockey Federation Hall of Fame, Gord Miller. How you doing?
I'm very well, Mitch, and you?
I'm fine, thank you very much. Wow, what do you make of this story? This is really picking up some steam here.
It really is, and you know, it's I think that a lot is being focused on the monetary aspect of this, that the players are talking about how little financial support they get. I think that's missing the point. This is an issue for them of access. And when you think about it, USA Hockey spends $3.5 million a year on the National Team Development Program, which is an under-17 boys team. There's no similar program for girls in the United States. So that would be one thing. Another would be when they unveiled the uniforms for Sochi, only male players were present. Inside the uniform was stitched the years that the United States had won gold medals in hockey, but only for men. Not suggesting the women's, you know, win in 1998 was important. And that's the most recent USA gold medal in hockey. And the women, by the way, wore that uniform. So I think there's a lot of issues there. I think people will take issue with the timing, that it's, you know, just days before the World Championship is set to begin. It's in the United States for, I think, just the second time. But they obviously feel very passionately about it, Mitch. I mean, it's unanimous. There's not one player who's disagreed here. And this is a fight that's been going on a long time. This goes back to Cammy Granato.
Yep.
Back in the 1990s, asking to have a full-time athletic therapist with the team.
She's actually one of the reasons why I wear number 21 today, because I remember watching her play. So it's it really hits home on multiple different levels. But to be able to continue laying the foundation and build upon what she's done in her career and also outside of her career, super humbling.
Hillary Knight on Cammy Granato, Gord, and Cammy Granato lost her spot on the team basically for speaking up, right?
Well, we don't know why. She was never told, and she was cut right before the Torino Olympics, when the United States lost to Sweden in the semifinals and wound up winning a bronze medal. The treatment of her by USA Hockey and the relationship is pretty sad, because she's probably was the greatest female player of her generation. There's been a lot of great women who have followed her footsteps, and she has no relationship with USA Hockey. It's a tough one. You know, Mitch, you have a daughter. I have a daughter.
I have two daughters.
You want your child, male or female, to be afforded the opportunity to achieve their dreams and not be said, sorry, you have to settle for second best here. I'm sorry, you're not a boy. You can't achieve your hockey dream, or your hockey dream is going to be so much harder. So I can see their point. And I salute Hockey Canada, which has come a long way in this and offers much more equitable treatment. But there's a long way to go for women in sport.
Gord, something you said about the stitching on the inside of those jackets, I mean, that's like stunning.
It was the uniform. It was the actual sweater they wore.
Well, they just don't care about what the women did for them, or was that an that can't be an oversight?
I don't know what goes through people's minds. I don't know what the thinking is a lot of time. I mean, it's just hard to imagine what the thought was there, because, you know, when you look at women's hockey at the Olympics, the gold medal means a lot more to the women than it does to the men. It really does. I mean, because the sacrifice they make, the time they put in, there's no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow for them. There's no professional league that they're going to make millions of dollars playing in. There's no real endorsements that they're going to cash in on. They play because they love it. And I think that to be treated in that way is really disheartening for them. And, you know, for example, I was in Plymouth, Michigan, where the USA Hockey's headquarters is for the National Team Development Program, in December when the U.S. played Canada in the game. And they were some of the women were talking about the upcoming World Championship and said, why not put the USA-Canada game at the Joe Louis Arena? And they were told, well, we'd never sell it. Well, why not try? You know, before the Olympics in Nagano, Canada and the United States played in front of 17,000 people in the Canucks Arena in Vancouver.
No, people forget that.
Place.
People forget about that.
Right. I mean, so why not try? There's very little marketing. There's very little promotion. There's very little put into their program. And they've been very successful. They're probably the best team in the world right now.
Well, and you look what transpired, Amanda, you can pick up on this, on what transpired here with Le Canadien. Not, you know, culminating in the capturing the Clarkson Cup and being introduced prior to the game last night with Jonathan Toews.
Yeah,
high five and all of them.
Exactly.
Right?
So they came out for a pregame ceremony and the crowd went mental. They were so excited. And then just as the anthems finished, Jonathan Toews skated over to Marie-Philippe Poulin, who was there with the Clarkson Cup, and gave all the girls who were lined up there a fist bump. So you see the camaraderie and the respect that even these professional NHL players have for these women. And we're really seeing that movement in Canada get bigger anyways, especially with, you know, NHL teams partnering up with a lot of the women's teams.
And not just that, you know, you think about Haley Wickenheiser retiring and the ceremony they had for her on a Saturday night in Edmonton, and Wayne Gretzky came in, and the way she was saluted as a trailblazer, one of the greatest players in women's hockey. It's really unfortunate. It's a long road, and I think that USA Hockey is probably right to say they're not going to employ athletes. The U.S. Track and Field Association doesn't pay its athletes. But at the same time, it's clear when you look at it, if there's a national team development program for under 18 and under 17-year-old boys, there should be one for girls.
100%. And a lot of this is developing while we've been on the air, but yeah. I was told a few minutes ago that the USA Hockey says there will be a team. They will ice a team,
but
there's
nobody knows who.
Nobody wants to play. Nobody wants to... The crude term would be scabbing it here, which is a completely different, but people know what I mean by that. And so this is up in the air until training camp is supposed to get underway, I think, on the 21st. And Team Canada, in the meantime, again, while we've been on the air about 90 minutes ago, they held a conference call. What was the gist of the conference
call? Well, the gist of the conference call was commenting, by not really commenting, on the U.S. news. And it really seems like what it is, without having heard everything, but just seeing these quotes come out, is they wanted to comment on the relationship between the women players in Canada and Hockey Canada, and just solidifying that there is a good relationship there. I think a lot of times when we see, you know, negativity out of other countries, we want to just let people know that things are going on okay here, and they are still in negotiations between the women's players and Hockey Canada in terms of Olympic year coverage and all that
stuff. So basically, here's how we do it. We're on
Correct.
The same page.
Yeah.
So for example, the game that I broadcast was for NBC in December. Between Canada and the United States. It's the only non-Olympic game that's been televised, I believe, in the last 8 years in the U.S. Whereas, you know, Hockey Canada, as part of its deal with TSN, insists that all women's national team games at the World Championship, the ESO Women's Nationals, the under-18s, under-22s, are all televised. That's part of the agreement.
Yeah, and that's what they're looking for.
That's exactly right? What Hillary Knight said to us today. They want marketing and coverage, and that's just as important as the financial compensation.
Right. So it's, I'm all, you know me, Mitch, I'm all in favor of the right to speak out and the right to have your voice heard. And these women have every right to speak out. I'm sure there'll be a backlash against them in some corners. I've already heard some of it. Well, you know, you don't raise as much money as the men. You shouldn't have the same facilities. That's ridiculous. That was the argument against Title IX, that well, no one, you know, people don't attend the women's cross country races, so they shouldn't get the same kind of funding as a male cross country runner. That's not what sport is about. But to announce this on the eve of the World Championship, with tickets presumably still being sold, and to raise this kind of controversy, I think underlines their commitment, but it's also a very risky move.
With Gord Miller every Wednesday after 6 on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. We've been chatting a lot about Alexei Yemelin and the aftermath of a dreadful performance in what otherwise was a really good hockey game for the Canadians on home ice against the Chicago Blackhawks. Mm-hmm. You get the Blackhawks in Ottawa tomorrow. The Canadians off today, two full days of practices, and then the back-to-back against the Ottawa Senators. The Senators with two games in hand, making one of those games up against the Blackhawks, 1 point back. What is the status of Craig Anderson? Mysterious yesterday, now what, day-to-day today? And how do you see this race for the top of the division ending up?
Well, first of all, Anderson is, you know, once again up in the air. The only update they've given is day-to-day. He was walking around the rink last night, so they're saying it's not serious. They played a heck of a game against Tampa last night. Tampa's playing really well. I find it fascinating that Montreal and Ottawa will play each other three times in 8 days. I can't remember that happening this late in the season with this much on the line. But Ottawa is fascinating because I would say that Montreal is less than the sum of the parts right now, and Ottawa is greater than the sum of its parts. Ottawa has found a way to win game after game after game and cobble it together with players out of the lineup and you know, the limitations of their finances and everything else they have and some young kids in spots, and they seem to just get it done. They'd won six in a row until last night. So Chicago, to me, though, might very well be outside Calgary the best team in the league right now. I mean, Chicago is a really, really good team right now.
It's a treat. So, and I know we can go round and round with this, and the people out west, you know, much like Calgary, that Pittsburgh game in Calgary the other night was a fabulous game, and they get to rejoice in seeing Crosby and Malkin, and they wonder, how come we can't see them more? There's just no way about it, but it's a lot better today in 2017 than it was when we were kids, when you could only see them on television, basically.
Yeah. No, I think that's one of the – I mean, I didn't like the schedule. I've always felt that every team should play in every building at least once a year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've had this discussion before. I mean, Eastern teams don't like it as much because, you know, Arizona doesn't move the needle and Colorado and maybe San Jose. But, you know, in the West, it really matters for Pittsburgh and Boston and, you know, Montreal and Toronto and Philly, the Rangers, to go out there and to play there. So I think it's great. And I think, you know, the level of competition is really high. The race for the goal scoring lead is unbelievable. I mean, it's never been like this. No one's going to score 50 in all likelihood, but, man, there's like six guys in the race to win the Rocket Richard Trophy, which is fantastic.
Yeah, and watch Alex Ovechkin score like 8 in the next 10 games or so.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Or Brad Marchand.
Oof, yeah.
Can you see, can you really picture Brad Marchand clutching the Rocket Richard Trophy? Can you see that?
I can't. I want to see the look on people's faces in Montreal when he does it. It was funny, Jamie McLennan and I were walking one day to the rink in Tampa. We saw this giant dead bug on the sidewalk. And I took a picture on Twitter and said, is it a cockroach or a June bug? And the most frequent answer was Brad Marchand. he's a great player, and he had a terrific World Cup to start the year. He's really, you know, he's a guy that toes the line and sometimes goes over it, but he is the best example of a pest who can play.
Gord Miller.
He'll drive you nuts to do all that stuff.
In Ottawa, they've got the Senators and Blackhawks while the Canadians are off tomorrow night. So it's obvious what a lot of Habs fans will be watching tomorrow night. Thanks as always, Gord. Talk to you next Wednesday after 6.
Sounds good, Mitch.